We're going to read our scripture passage now, and you'll find this printed in the handout you received as you came in today. We're reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 to 18. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to our conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation.
Merry Christmas, everyone, and Happy New Year. My name is Tim. It's great to see you at church this morning. We're in our series called Jesus Is. So there's a big black line or white line that's blank, and you could fill it in with anything. And if you were to ask someone that question, who do you think Jesus is, they would fill it in. No one's neutral when it comes to Jesus. It could be positive, it could be negative. And our statement this morning is Jesus is the new creation. That's a weird thing to say. If someone said, oh, Jesus is the new creation, you'd go, I think that's probably a Christian guy saying that. It sounds pretty positive, but it is weird to say that Jesus is the new creation. What the heck do they mean? We're going to look at that. It's not as weird as it might sound at first. It is actually a way that the Bible talks about Jesus and things to come. Jesus is the new creation. So the Christian saying that is actually drawing on the way the Bible does speak. But to understand it, we've got to sort of go back into, I guess, the headspace of some of the ways that God's word speaks about our reality. Now, the Bible essentially describes this world, our current creation, our lives within this creation as a rust bucket. You could picture it like this. Who feels like that rusty, decrepit car? We're on the cusp of 2016, the end of a hard year, 2015. Do you feel like that yet? Rusty? Now, the Bible obviously doesn't use those words exactly saying that the world is rusty. But it does say that the world is broken, is old, and that there's this corrosive effect that is eating away, gnawing at everything in existence. Even a brand new baby, fresh out of the bubble wrap, they look great. They're cute. They're brand spanking new. And yet, the Bible will describe even that newborn baby as a rust bucket. That baby is already part of a world that is going to be destroyed, and you can see that happening straight away if you look closely. You see children who are born into a world where their families are broken. You see brand new babies born into even war-torn nations. We see this all around us. Nothing lasts. Even the newborn baby is part of this world that is a rust bucket that is going to go away and be destroyed. And we know that even in our own lives. So we're about to head into 2016. You and I are probably going to spend a heck of a lot of effort this year or next year trying to change things, right? You've got some sort of desire, even if you're not sort of sharp on New Year's resolutions. Without a doubt, you would have dreams and plans where you hope to shift something in your life or a couple of things from one condition to a better condition. You want to renew it. You want to recreate it. You want to be better at it. And you will expend a lot of time, money, and resource trying to achieve that and probably have just an incremental change. We know this from the years gone by. How many times do you come around to the same New Year's resolution? We know this intuitively. That's why we come to the turn of a year and we kind of get excited and we get our hopes up and we go, we are going to go again. We know intuitively that something's wrong with us. It's hard work. How do we change? And I think the world at large also knows that. In November this year, there was a big climate change summit. If you're across the news, you probably know about it. If climate change is your passion, then you probably also know about it. It happened in Paris. There was a massive summit where all the global leaders got together and they're worried about the state of our world. They're really worried that something dreadful is going to happen if we don't get our act together when it comes to climate change. They see that somehow the solution needs to be world leaders right across the globe coming together and coming up with a fix, something that corporately we all do. So when this was going on, I was listening to a news report on ABC News Radio, and I was just struck by, I guess, the intense language different world leaders had as they spoke at this summit. I've got a little clip from the from ABC News.
World leaders have spoken in dire terms about the challenge global warming poses at the start of the UN climate change conference in France. Both the host, President Francois Hollande, and US President Barack Obama say it's crunch time when it comes to the negotiations on reducing greenhouse gas emissions. Melissa Clark reports from Paris.
Francois Hollande, the French president, welcomed the heads of state and appealed for more than just good wishes and expressions of intent.
Everything depends on us. Ladies and gentlemen, heads of state and government, the hope of all of humanity rests on your shoulders.
US President Barack Obama noted the pressure and urged action too.
And what should give us hope? That this is a turning point. That this is the moment we finally determined we would save our planet. Is the fact that our nations share a sense of urgency about this challenge and a growing realization that it is within our power to do something about it.
There you go, big language. If the US president had a deeper voice, you would almost think it's the voiceover to an apocalyptic movie promo. It sounds like the end of the world. And look, I think it's a great ambition to get serious about our environment. In no way should we be cavalier or casual about the planet that we live in. And we should, look at ways that we can preserve what God has given us in this world. Nevertheless, I'm not very optimistic myself that we will have any lasting solution. The world leaders and countries that do come together are going to spend a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of their resources trying to fix this problem. But I'm not that optimistic that it will actually come off, because we've had many big problems in the world where world leaders have got together and yet we still haven't had much success. Poverty, wars. Will climate change be any different? And look, who's involved? Human beings. Millions of human beings around the world have to change things in order to have success here. And when you and I look at our own lives, we have done so much work to change things and yet only ever had incremental success. And even if we do have a little bit of success changing our situation for the better, it's even harder to sustain that, right? So 2016, as we approach that, I think we get that. The whole world does get that it is really hard to fix a broken world. Now, the Bible agrees. In fact, the Bible gives us insight into what is the cause of this broken world. If you were to pick up the first part of your Bible, we call it the Old Testament, and you just read through that, there's a couple of chapters that talk about God creating this great world and creating humanity in it. And then immediately, chapter 3, we see that human beings reject God. And as a result, God places the entire creation, including human beings, under a curse, and that curse is that that the whole world will begin to die and die off. And you watch in the Bible, story after story after story, showing that death curse play out. If you were aliens and you were about to come and live on the earth and you somehow got the Bible to give you an idea of what's going on there, you would read story after story of humans having no success. Yeah, there's a few in there that have a little bit of success, but that never, ever lasts. There's this line that keeps popping up in the first part of the Bible is someone lived, they did a few things, and then they died. They lived, and then they died. Even some great people who did what seems to be like some all right things, the summary of their life is, and they died. The Bible shows us that this world is old and decrepit. It's a rust bucket and it's going to be destroyed. After all these stories in the first part of the Bible, the Old Testament, there's a guy called Isaiah, and he stops to explain more of exactly what is going on and what's going to happen. And he says that because of this curse, the entire world, which is now old, God is going to do away with and transition to a new world. Have a look at this text from Isaiah, that book that I'm talking about. Chapter 24. This is a couple of verses from chapter 24 that I've mashed together just to give you the flavor of what that chapter is about. Here Isaiah says, look, the Lord is going to lay waste the earth and devastate it. The earth is defiled by its people. They have disobeyed and broken the everlasting covenant. So they've rejected God. In that day, the Lord will punish. Now, many people who have read the Old Testament over the years, particularly the Jews, who it's their special book, they knew that this was a day in the future that is coming, that this old world and everything that is old about it, even the newborn babies, which from the Bible's perspective see as old immediately, is going to be done away with, is going to be destroyed. God has that day coming up in the future. But at the same time, they are aware that Isaiah doesn't stop there when he's explaining about this destruction of the old world. Isaiah goes on to say that God has announced that at the exact point that he destroys the world, there will be a transition to a new world. God is going to create a new creation. So if you were to look at this verse in Isaiah, Isaiah 65 verse 17, that's just one example, where Isaiah says, see, speaking as the Lord, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. Former, the old. Another way you can translate that is the old things. Isaiah tells us that this old world is going to be destroyed and done away with, but at the same time, God is going to transition everything to a new world. There's going to be a new creation. Now that sounds exciting for us who live in this old world. Our current world is pretty hard, and the prospect of a new world where things just work sounds mighty fine. Now, again, these Jewish people that know their Old Testament are looking out for two particular things that are coming up in the future that will mark this transition from the old world to the new creation. Now, those two things are a day of judgment and resurrection. So we can put them up on the screen. Next one. They know that there's two signposts that God has talked about that will mark the day when we are seeing the transition between the old world into the new world. If you go to your outline, which we've got printed, we've got a number of verses, again from Isaiah, that talk about On this day of judgment, there's also going to be a day of resurrection. It's the same day, the same moment. Isaiah explains for us that on the one hand, God is going to judge all people who belong to the old world, all people who have this corrosive rust that keeps appearing in their life, sin. Anyone who is found to have sin in their life, to found to be a rust bucket, you know, they're part of the problem, will be attached to this old world and will be destroyed. But on the other hand, anyone who is found to be righteous, which the Bible says is people who have never sinned, never broken faith with God, never disobeyed him, they are going to be resurrected. And you can see some of those verses there. I'll read the first one for you. Isaiah 26:19. But your dead will live, Lord. Their bodies will rise. Let those who dwell in the dust wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead. Over and over throughout the book of Isaiah, as he's talking about the new creation which is about to appear, we are told that there will be a resurrection. The people who will inhabit the new creation will be given resurrected bodies. In order to live in this new creation, you need to have the new creation of a new body. That is what Isaiah paints for us and tells us. So in a sense, you've got to be upgraded. To live in this new world, you have to be upgraded, reformatted. It's not like Windows 10, which last week I upgraded to, and my whole system went into chaos. Who's upgraded to Windows 10 on their PC? Right? Who's had problems? Even just, a few people. Okay, well, I've got a number of different programs that are mission critical to what I do. And Windows 10, Microsoft, with Windows, were saying, oh, you've got to upgrade, and you've got to do it before the end of the year to take advantage of this free upgrade. And they're saying it is the bee's knees, it's faster, it's shinier, it's brighter, it will be great. You've got to do it. So I'm thinking, I don't want to miss out. The new year is about to roll through. So I checked a few forums, making sure that my programs that are mission critical to what I do won't be disrupted. And everyone's saying, no, it's all good, go for it. I click download and my whole computer is Newton, right? And we have big problems. And for 2 weeks, I wasn't able to do some particular work, and that was really bothersome. Now, Windows promised that this would be a great upgrade, but I've got nothing but compatibility issues and codecs that don't work and processors that don't talk to Windows 10. Not the case with this new body, this upgrade that God has promised for those people who will be resurrected into the new creation. This is a body that perfectly syncs with its environment. This is a life that is perfectly compatible to live in the new creation. Now, don't we crave a life like that? Now, seriously, if you reflect on your year, even what's gone on for you this week with Christmas, because sometimes that can really throw in your face how old this world is. You crave for something new. Even as you start plotting your plans for 2016, that reveals that we desperately want a new existence. We want a life and a body and a world that sinks, where every relationship is at 100%. Your relationship with God is perfect, perfect harmony going on, a perfect relationship with everyone in your life, perfect relationship with your environment, the world. We crave that. That's why we madly go about getting life coaches and set out goal lists, and we work so hard to have that new me. We want a new creation now. Now, what's the problem that we have? What's the problem that's exposed by the very fact that we end up working so hard at this? The problem is that our hard work exposes that we belong on the side of the old world, that we are actually wrapped up in this old world that is rusty. And when we look through Isaiah, we have seen that the people that have rust appearing in their lives, the sin that's on show before God, their fate is to be wrapped up and destroyed along with the entire old world. So this resurrection existence sounds great, but it's only on offer for those who have no rust in their lives, those who are sinless and flawless before God, those who are righteous. One more verse from Isaiah. You've got it on your outline. This is how merciful and how much grace God has towards those people he created but yet have rejected him. Because he recognizes this problem, he promises even Isaiah on this day when there will be a transition from the old to the new, where there will be judgment and resurrection, that he will provide someone. He calls him his servant, who is flawless and blameless, to undergo this judgment on behalf of others. So the people who should be judged and wrapped up with the old world will have a free pass, a pardon, and be able to go on into the new world. So have a look at Isaiah 53. In your outline, it says, "Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer, destroy him." Destruction language there. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, we see his offspring and prolong his days. He will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Now this picture that Isaiah has painted is all in the future. It's all marked as happening at the end of history, at the end of the run of this old world. That is when there will be the day of judgment, the day of resurrection, and the transitioning between the existence of the old world to the new world. It's all happening at the end of history. What is surprising is that when you get to the second big chunk of the Bible, the New Testament, is you have the man, the Lord Jesus, and you have four stories, the Gospels, who talk about Jesus' life, and they all end with showing that in this one man, he is judged on a cross. His life is destroyed. And then 3 days later, he rises from the dead. So in this man's life, you see these two signposts that were associated with the end of history, with the transitioning from the old to the new, emerging in this man. Now, no one else has risen from the dead. You might say Lazarus if you know your Bibles, but he kind of died 3 days later. When we're talking about resurrection, it's like resurrected with a new body. Everything works, it's eternal, it doesn't have corruption, it lasts. And we only see that in the Lord Jesus. He has the new body. So it's like the Gospels are showing the brand new release of humanity 2.0. So God is saying the next edition, the upgrade, the new body is now on show in the Lord Jesus. Everything that you are expecting in the future, I have now kind of leaped onto the marketplace so that people can see it in action. So iPhone 7, apparently that's going to be released in 2016. That might surprise you because we only just got a couple of releases, didn't we, this year? You know, if you've been following Apple always seem to leak their next edition onto the marketplace. You always hear some stories surrounding a prototype that was left on the table at a bar in Silicon Valley And everyone goes, ooh, that was left there. And there happen to be journalists around, and these stories are written up about how fantastic the iPhone 7 is going to be. And you feel a little bit ambiguous because you have this sneaking suspicion that Apple are being very clever, because they run everything really tight. They keep everything under wraps. If this was leaked, that person would be tracked down. There'd be criminal charges and stuff like that. And you never hear that story. So it seems like it's very, very much an intentional leak. It's a good marketing strategy. Get that phone out there, get a bit of noise, people's intrigue and curiosity is up, and hopefully you generate a whole stack of sales out of that. With Jesus, it's like God has leaked onto the marketplace the brand new creation. We know from Isaiah that a resurrected body and the new creation are synonymous. It's like the two sides of the same coin. To exist in the new creation, you need this reformatted body. And Jesus emerges with a brand new body and a life that totally syncs with God and syncs with one another and syncs with the world. God has released onto the marketplace the prototype, humanity 2.0. Jesus is that. Now, we've just read in 2 Corinthians a passage where Paul seems to be picking up on that idea that when you look at Jesus and the resurrection, all that Isaiah had promised with this new creation coming to pass has actually now started. So we're going to do a real skip, hop, and a jump through 2 Corinthians 5. If you've got that open, I just want to draw your attention to three or four verses that are there that show that Paul understands that in Jesus this new creation has started and emerged. So if you look at verse 1 and 2 of chapter 5, right at the start, Paul says, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling." So Paul recognizes that where we stand right now, in this current earth, we're old, we're decrepit and rusty, we groan, things aren't working, we long for the new creation, we long to be clothed with a brand new body, an upgrade. Come down to verse 10. Paul knows that there's this great day in the future where we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. We've already spoken tonight that if there's rust in our lives, if sin has started to corrode us, then that's a very awkward day for us. We know the fate of those who are exposed as belonging to the old world. Drop down to verse 14 and 15. Paul sees that because of Christ's love, it compels him, as he is convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. There is a man, Christ, who died, the judgment was destroyed on behalf of others. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. If you knew your Old Testament, if you were a Jew and you've been hanging out anticipating this great day, and that big signpost of resurrection was a marker of that day, to see Jesus raised from the dead triggers for you that, wow, this is the beginning of the new creation. Last verse to look at here, verse 17. Paul says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come." Let's even put that up on the screen. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. This is the staggering thing. What was anticipated to be in the distance at the end of history has all seemed to have happened somewhat earlier in the life of one man. The old has gone and the new has come. And the Bible promises that for people who trust in Jesus, who find themselves in Christ, that is a reality that now exists for them. Jesus is the new creation. We see that with his resurrected body. He has the body that will inhabit the new creation. And if anyone finds themselves included in Jesus, for them, it's like that transition has begun to happen. The old is gone and the new is here. It's like Windows 10, but you've got to pretend that Windows 10 is flawless, okay? Just say there's no problem. So Windows 10 have earmarked a date, which after my panic, thinking it was the end of the year, is actually halfway through June next year. So I could have held off. But they've earmarked a date where they are going to transition, Microsoft are going to transition from supporting any earlier edition to only supporting Windows 10. So there is a cutoff time. If you have the old versions, you'll no longer get any support from Microsoft. But they have a good news story. They are offering right now, free of charge, a download of the brand new system. What you need to go on into the future. This is their ad. Windows 10 is here, and you can get it for free. Once installed, Windows 10 is yours to enjoy and absolutely free. Don't miss out. This free offer won't last forever. That's the gospel, Microsoft style, isn't it? You can have a completely new system, an upgrade for free, but you've got to take opportunity right now because it's an offer that won't last. And what they've done is they've released it onto the marketplace early so people can see it and feel it and touch it and experience it. God has done that in Jesus. He's released the next edition of the way humanity will be. Perfect man in relationship with God, one another, and the world around him. Onto the marketplace, and anyone who finds themselves in them gets this offer as well. They too begin to be part of the new creation. Take the offer. If you have not taken the free upgrade that God has, today is the day to do it. We do have a course if you want to, you know, if we're thinking marketing terms and, you know, promotional products, we do have like an information night. We call it Simply Christianity. You can come along to that and watch one of the stories of Jesus and see what is actually on offer, because it is God's great promotional offer about things to come. And it's a one-time offer. It's on right now. It's free. You have to take it before it is too late. There is a cutoff point when God will transition from the old to the new. And of course, we want to be included in the new. Now, to close, we've had some fun with this metaphor, but I'm just going to press it one more time with Windows 10, right? I want to show you one last verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. So if you've got your Bible, open that up there. Paul is explaining that now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. So there, just simply, what he's talking about is he has created people who are his own, and they're going to be part of the new creation. But what does he do? He gives them the Holy Spirit. God has given the Holy Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. We all know how a deposit works. It's a down payment. It means the rest is to come. Another image that the Bible uses is first fruits. It's a farming image. So like a farmer gets the first fruits of the harvest, and that is a sign that the rest of the harvest is going to bloom and come in. Windows also are giving a first fruits deposit kind of thing. Right now, if you download, it starts jogging with your system. You don't even have to, you know, shut down the computer, but it starts the upgrade. Windows have begun to give us an upgrade even right now, even before June 2016. Your computer, as soon as you press download, starts to change. And that's what happens in the Christian life. Even though we're waiting for that ultimate day of transition, God, for those who have joined his family, sends his spirit and, if you will, your operating system starts to change. You get a whole new operating system now, even before the hardware. Okay, so in the future we get, you know, new hardware, new body, but right now our spirits, our operating system by the power of God, changes. And for the first time in our lives, we have resurrected power that causes real change. So as you look on a life where you've tried so hard to change things, for a Christian, when it comes to dealing with sin and having real lasting life change, you can have that right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. Resurrected power that flows from Jesus by the Holy Spirit. You can begin to live differently. That means that as you approach New Year's Eve, I don't know what you traditionally do, maybe New Year's Eve, for some of us, is something we struggle with, where we smash ourselves with alcohol or we get involved in other things. And, you know, as a Christian, you might wrestle with that and think, I don't want to be involved with that, but I just keep falling into the same track. Where do you get the power to actually change that kind of life habit? Or in any other realm, with relationships, where do you get the power for real life change? The question we finish on tonight, asking of ourselves, is, am I a new creation? Do I have things in my life that show that the new creation has burst forth, has started because I'm included in Jesus? Do I have the power for real lasting change? And it's not a power that we muster up ourselves, because we're old. It's a new power. It's something new that God sends from without into our lives. We don't life coach ourselves into it. So let me leave you with two things. If you are not yet a Christian and you would like deep lasting power in your life for change, but one that has a trajectory where you end up in a new creation in harmony with your God, then you need to think about trusting in the Lord Jesus. Jesus as the beginning of the new creation. So get along to Simply Christianity or ask your friends. If you're here and you are a Christian, it's a good question to ask. Am I changing spiritually? Because God has said that he first resurrects his people spiritually with a physical resurrection to come. So has that spiritual resurrection started in our lives? As we read through the Bible and we see these commands of, oh, we should try and live like this, this would bring glory to God. The Bible never just gives commands. Say Paul, for example, when he gives commands about loving or honoring your parents, he gives that fully aware that people who are going to do that have been given resurrected power to obey. Let's ask God right now for that. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are so merciful that even though we deserve to be sucked under with the fate of this old world, you're so wonderful that you have promised a new creation and you've even provided a way through the Lord Jesus that we might be part of the new creation. People who do not deserve it are actually reformatted, remade, recreated, a brand new and in harmony with you, the one God, full of life, full of love, a power that emanates from your Holy Spirit, which is life and which is love. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you will give us resurrection power tonight, that you will raise our lives spiritually, that the upgrade will start, the operating system will kick in, And boy, do we look forward to the full harvest, our resurrected bodies, physical bodies that don't break down, that don't rust, in a creation that actually, doesn't have to fear about it being crunch time and humanity falling under. We pray for anyone here tonight who is thinking and desiring these things, particularly as they look at 2016 and hope for better things. Please cause them, Lord, to factor in the greater reality. We look forward to heaven, the new creation, where the idiom of one step forward, two steps back just does not exist. It is maximum progression. Oh man, we crave that, Lord, and we just thank you that that is our hope, and that even now we are counted as new creations. Amen.